Welcome to Composer's Favorites, a podcast by Film Scoring Tips. I am Giovanni Rotondo, and today we're gonna learn more about composer Anne-Catherine Dern's favorite things. Enjoy the show. My guest today is a German film composer based in LA. She scored various Netflix films, among which Fearless and The Close Family, and is quickly becoming a YouTube star among film composers. Anne-Catherine Dern, welcome to Composer's Favorites.
Hi.
So the first of your favorites is, you chose book as category, but your answer, I loved your answers, by the way. Your answer was, I'm very much into fantasy, science fiction, along the line of Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, and His Dark Materials.
Yeah.
So I would like to address all of them, and I will start with familiar ground. So one trilogy that I've read is The Lord of the Rings. Which one is your favorite in the anthology?
Oh God, it's very difficult to say because I actually read all of them, not just The Lord of the Rings. I also read all the other books that are, everything. I think I like the first one best just because you get to know the world and the world building and you start to understand how big it is. And, you know, I just love high fantasy where there's just, you know, languages and cultures and, you know, different creatures and there's a whole world to be discovered. And I feel like the first book does that really well. With the second, you know, the second is kind of the difficult middle part for me where everything kind of slows down and, you know, I thought it was kind of difficult to read. And then I thought the third one picks up again and, you know, you really want to know how it ends at that point and how it all turns out. But yeah, the first one, I think, minus the part about Tom Bombadil, that was my least favorite part. But everything else I loved.
A bit cuckoo right there, right? It's a bit,
yeah, and it doesn't contribute anything to the story, I think, because these characters don't come back. So you're just left wondering who they are, what they're doing in that story. It completely distracts from where they're going. By the end of that part, I actually had forgotten where they were going and what they wanted to do. So, yeah, I thought that was very distracting, especially because right before that, you have them be chased by the Black Riders, right? So right. It's really intense before they go into that forest and they hear the Black Riders in the background and, you know, it's really scary, actually. And then they go into that forest and then for a whole while, all the excitement is just gone. So.
Do you like the scores that our show wrote for the films?
I loved it. I thought it really fit the world, but also it's something that got me into it in the first place. Because I remember that year Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings came out within the span of a month, and that kind of got me into fantasy. So, I mean, Harry Potter is a different kind of fantasy, but that was kind of what got me into movies more and into these books more, into the genre more, and into the music. So that kind of made me want to become a film composer, actually. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Do you have a favorite character?
Good question. I think I always liked Faramir.
Oh, wow.
Just because, I mean, he's in the books, he's very different from how he is in the movies.
Right.
I just like that he was such a polar opposite of Boromir, where Boromir wanted power and the ring and all that. And Faramir was just the kind of guy that you thought would be like that, but you know, gross character misjudgment. He was just the kindest guy who didn't want the ring, and he was one of the very few people in the book who just said, "I don't want it. Like, it just brings misery onto people, and I just, you know, go destroy it." I kind of thought that was really impressive because he's just a guy, you know? You know, you have the bloodline of Aragorn that makes him special, and you have the elves that are generally special because, you know, and with him, I just thought he's just some dude who has a lot of responsibility, who is the second born, you know, not as popular as his brother, but he's kind of, you know, the guy who does the right thing. He's the normal person, kind of like Frodo, you know, who's also just a guy, but who chooses to do the right thing.
That's a lovely choice. Let's go to Harry Potter.
Right.
I have seen the movies, but I haven't read the books. So be a little bit more forgiving with me, especially if we are naming, you know, minor characters. But my question is around characters. What's your favorite hero and what's your favorite villain in the franchise?
I mean, I've always loved Hermione just because, mm-hmm. you know, I can relate to a nerd who wants to read all the time.
You are the Hermione of film composers, thinking of it.
That's the nicest thing anyone has ever said to me. I want to be the Hermione of film composers.
Well, from now on, you are.
And another character that I always... I mean, first you love to hate him, which is Snape. Yes. And then later on, you just understand. I mean, in the books, he was even way worse than he was in the movies because he doesn't have that many scenes in the movies. He has more airtime in the books, and he just gets to be so awful, especially because you read the books from Harry's perspective, so you always get the worst. You know, you always get everything colored by Harry's opinions. In the movies, it's a little less like that.
MCU. What is your favorite character?
The Winter Soldier.
Oh, really? Oh, that's an awesome one. Yeah.
You thought I was going to say Iron Man, didn't you?
I thought you were going to say Captain America.
Oh, he's a bit... I liked him more towards the end mm-hmm. as he was getting a little more, you know, layer. But in the first couple movies, I did not exactly enjoy him because he felt a little bland. Mm-hmm. I felt that actually the Winter Soldier made him interesting.
That's an interesting point. And I do agree with you completely. And the Winter Soldier is so cool. I hope they will develop him even more.
I know.
Let's talk about your favorite morning ritual now. It's brewing freshly ground coffee in my AeroPress.
Yes.
Oh, you have one there.
I have the coffee here, yeah. Oh, God.
Oh, my God, you're making me jealous.
It's so good. that is my morning ritual, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I used to drink coffee normally like everyone else, but I was kind of missing European coffee. Because American coffee has a different taste, I think. Mm-hmm. It feels like it's fruitier, but also sometimes more burnt tasting. And, you know, especially these fast food chains like Starbucks, you know, it's like, it's fine if you need a caffeine fill. But, you know, as far as tasty coffee goes, it's not really, it.
Yeah, I agree.
And in Germany, we drink a lot more, you know, Italian coffee, which is an espresso drinks, which is, you know, so good. I mean, any food item from Italy is amazing. And so I was kind of missing that, you know, quality coffee. So first, what I started doing was, you know, go buy more expensive beans, then buy raw beans and buy a grinder so I could, you know, get the right grind size and then make coffee by hand with a pour over or a French press. And then it just kind of escalated from there where I was like, what if I roasted my own beans? And I started buying, you know, raw coffee beans and just started roasting them in a pan.
So you actually, you do that currently?
Not as much anymore, because I actually found a really great local coffee roaster, and they make much better roasts than I do. And they also make sure they buy beans from, you know, fair trade farms, and that they support women-owned businesses and all that stuff. So I enjoy that. But so when I run out of beans from them for my monthly subscription, I do roast my own coffee. So I still have a whole batch of just unroasted coffee beans. And then a friend of mine a couple years ago said, hey, I have an AeroPress in case you want to try that out. I'm not using it. I'm not drinking coffee anymore. So if you want to have it, go for it. And so I started different brewing methods with the AeroPress, which is to me probably the best coffee brewing method, because it makes a sweeter cup of coffee, and it's just really, really, it extracts all the flavors very evenly. And then, you know, to go with the AeroPress, I just recently bought the Air Grind, which is a grinder to go with that specific thing. So you can get the exact right grind size for your water to coffee bean ratio. It's a whole thing. I could talk for hours about coffee.
I love specialty coffee myself. I own an AeroPress, but I didn't know about the Air Grind. So I'm going to do a quick research right after we record our episode. But I'm impressed. I tried roasting once and it was an utter disaster. It's not an easy,
smoky affair, isn't it?
it was like mine tasted like ash. It was awful. But yeah, I mean, roasting your own coffee is the next level. So I bow to you. Awesome. Let's go to the next one. And this one I really loved reading. Your guilty pleasure is listening to boy bands, girl bands
from your teenage years.
You gotta tell me more.
It is.
Which band?
Oh, Backstreet Boys,
yeah.
Spice Girls. It's funny because I hadn't listened to that in a long time. And then every time I print stems or, you know, do some task where I don't really have to pay that much attention, where I just set it up and then I click export and then I'm waiting for 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. I just have Spotify or YouTube or some streaming platform on and just listen to music. And then randomly a couple years ago, I discovered that there are, you know, 90s playlists. I was like, ah, oh, that was, you know, when I was young. And so I started listening to it and I was like, oh, I forgot about that song. I forgot about the Spice Girls. I forgot about the Backstreet Boys. I forgot about NSYNC and all these Westlife, you know, all the stuff that I listened to when I was, you know, 14. And so I just somehow reconnected with that. And it's kind of funny because it's starting to be cool again. I remember back then I was getting so much flack because, you know, it was so looked down on, the whole, yeah, you know, Britney phase of, you know, pop music. But now it's kind of retro, so I guess it's cool now.
It's vintage.
It's vintage. Yeah, we're vintage now.
Yeah.
I listen to this oldies channel on the radio sometimes when I drive in my car, and they put Britney on, and I was like, wow, really? That's an oldie now? And then I did the math, and I was like, yeah, actually, that song came out in 1998. So that was well over 20 years ago. But yeah, it's kind of starting to be in my consciousness again. And so I started to go to parties as well with friends, and they were starting to play the Backstreet Boys. And I was like, that's so funny. But I guess that was our time. And so, yeah, I've just been reconnecting with that. And I've started to remember watching some of those music videos. Do you remember those music videos that they had,
yeah,
that were just so over the top? Everything was in slow motion and waves crashing, and it's just so cheesy all over.
Yeah.
And it's so 90s and early 2000s, and it's so great.
There was a Backstreet Boys one that was quite awesome, actually, like Halloween themed.
Yes, Backstreet's Back.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I confess, I on a Spice Girls CD.
Go you!
I've listened to it more times than I should have, probably. Since we are down memory lane, your favorite TV series from your childhood is Sailor Moon.
Yes!
That's awesome. What is your favorite Sailor Guardian?
Oh, I want to say Sailor Moon, but actually, in the last season, there are the Sailor Starlights, and they are pop stars. They make music, and I was obsessed with those pop songs that were in the series. They're very anime, so very melodic and, you know, not how you would expect pop music to be.
Right.
But
the Japanese.
Yes. Yes.
Translation.
I mean, the music in general was so good. I also love Sailor Neptune, of course, with her violin. That was always one of my favorites when they,
yeah,
when they let her play the violin. Ah, it's always beautiful.
Your favorite instrument is piano.
Yes.
Do you play piano?
Not as much anymore as I'd like, but yeah, I am classically trained piano, classically trained pianist.
Is it your first instrument?
My first instrument was flute, actually.
Oh, really? Nice.
Yeah. And then I went actually to guitar first because I was playing in a band, mm-hmm. and I was doing the whole singer-songwriter thing, and then I went to piano. Just because it's expensive to buy a piano, and so it took a lot of convincing in my family. It's much easier to buy, you know, a $200 guitar or, you know, a $500 flute than to buy a several thousand dollar piano. I just love it. I just love not just the sound, but I always thought, what a cool instrument. Since I come from a melodic instrument, I always needed someone else to accompany me when I wanted to play something other than a melody. And this was before technology was a thing. Like now you could probably play with yourself by using different apps and you can just play the different lines and then, you know, play flute with just yourself in a flute ensemble. Back then that wasn't really possible. And so I always needed someone else to make music with. But a lot of other people at the young age were not taking it very seriously, or they didn't want to play music all the time. And so it was very difficult for me in my small home village to find people to make music with on a, you know, serious level.
Yeah.
And so with piano, I always loved that it's just you can have everything by yourself. It's you can play the melody and the accompaniment and, you know, you can just play by yourself and it actually sounds like music.
A one-man band,
yeah.
So the Klaus Family 1 is coming to Netflix
today.
Right. You know, for those who are listening, it's the episode is probably gonna drop a little bit further down the line, so it is November 1st today.
Yes.
And the Klaus Family 2 is coming as well this holiday season, right?
Yes, December 7th, I think.
Which is amazing because you can watch the first and then take some time and then you don't have to wait for a whole year to watch the second. I'm going to do that with my family.
Just binge watch it in one go.
Yes.
I actually like the second one more than the first one.
Wow.
It's much more mature, I think. The main character is much more likable in that one. But yeah, they're definitely family movies. And I thought they were, you know, they're dealing with some more serious topics, which I actually liked. It's not just some, you know, random Christmas rom-com or something that you put on in the background, but it has an actual story, which I really love about, you know, it's all about family in those movies. The first one deals with the death of a parent, actually, and the second one deals with divorce. So stuff that children may be dealing with at some point in their lives.
Yeah, it sounds pretty educative. That's great.
Yeah, and I remember the first one only had like a limited, It only came out last year on Netflix, I think in Belgium, the Netherlands, and France. Mm-hmm. But then they saw how well it was going, and then they were like, all right, let's translate, let's dub it in every language, put it out for next Christmas on Netflix worldwide, and then we can kind of combine it with the second one. And I think they might also make a third one. I'm not sure yet.
That's wonderful. Fingers crossed.
I'm gonna pay attention to how you developed the music from the first one to the second one.
There's some overlap, yes.
Awesome. It was such a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
That's our show for today. We like to make our episodes roughly the same length, therefore we sometimes edit out some of the guests' favorites. However, extended cuts of the show are available to our Patreon subscribers. Check filmscoringtips.com/content to find more about this. Thanks for joining us and see you soon.